price my Savior paid. On the cross he chose to stay, as his precious blood flowed freely to the ground. Then the veil was rent in twain, and by grace a way was made to redeem my soul from the law that had me bound. Lord, give me a vision on my heart, a burden laid, so I can see a dying world the way you saw it that day. Give me tears that like your blood flow freely to the ground. Without a vision, souls will perish, and guilty I'll be found. Lord, help me find my Gethsemane and go alone in prayer with thee, till the dawning find me centered in thy will. With broken heart, it's then I'll see the dying lost and cry, Lord, send me. Then with love I'll lead a soul up to Calvary's hill. Lord, give me a vision on my heart, a burden laid, so I can see a dying world the way you saw it that day. Give me tears that like your blood flow freely to the ground. Without a vision, souls will perish, and guilty I'll be found. Lord, give me a vision on my heart, a burden laid, so I can see a dying world the way you saw it that day. Give me tears that like your blood flow freely to the ground. Without a vision, souls will perish, and guilty I'll be found. Without a vision, souls will perish, and guilty I'll be found.
Amen. Bibles tonight, and I want you to turn with me to a very familiar passage, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. We're going to look here at chapter number 8, a little bit in chapter 9, and turn to one passage in the Old Testament. That'll be all the turning we'll do in the Bible tonight, and we'll stay there. And I'll be able to share some things with you here tonight that I hope will just kind of get us started this first day, and then look forward to what Brother Guthrie will bring you the rest of the week, and that God will bless in a special way. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, if you have your place there and you're physically able to stand, I want you to stand with me. I'll read the first five verses, and then we'll pray and ask God to speak to our hearts tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Beginning in verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power or their ability I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God. Our Father, we thank you so much for your blessings upon us here. Thank you for the wonderful day that you've given us and the good start to this missions conference. And Lord, this meeting is important to you. And I thank you that you've raised up a local church that finds it's important enough to make the sacrifices necessary to be able to have a missions conference that runs Sunday through Thursday and bring in missionaries and take care of the servants of God to be able to present to this local New Testament church the responsibility it has to reach the world. And I pray you'll bless in a special way. I know a lot has gone into this meeting, and I pray that you bless and, Lord, help it to be a great meeting. May it be the best I've ever had, and we're certainly looking forward to you to bless in a special way. Now, Father, meet with us tonight. I thank you for being a great and wonderful God. Thank you for the wonderful privilege to preach. And, Father, I realize that I'm just a vessel, and I pray that you'd help me here to be able to say in the time that we have exactly what you would have said tonight, that I trust will just help this conference, Lord, to be what you would have it to be and give us the end of a good first day. Now cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your spirit. You bless the preaching of God's holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. This is the first day of your 9th annual Faith Promise Missions Revival. I like missions conference and revival being put together because I think a mission conference ought to be a revival. It ought to be a time that God speaks to our hearts. And I've said many times all over the world that I believe without a doubt that missions is spiritual business. God's not looking for backslidden people or carnal people to be able to do the most important thing in the world. He's looking for people who are saved by grace, will trust him to let him work in and through us to get the job done. So it is a spiritual time. It's a heart-searching time. It's a time that I need to analyze myself to be able to do the best I can for the glory of God. I know without a doubt that this missions conference, first of all, there's been a host of people praying. It takes prayer to be able to have the right kind of missions conference. It takes planning. Thank you, Brother David, for the great job you and the missions team and other people and staff have been planning. So you've had people praying. You've had the staff, the missions committee and staff and other people planning. It also takes participation. We got to have some people participate in the missions conference. Things must go on. So you've got prayer, you've got planning, you've got participation, but you got to have people like missionaries to come. You know, my church, we get so many emails, so many letters, so many phone calls all the time. We support about over 200 missionaries and projects around. I spent 20 years on the board of BIMI, and then I have a son. I told my wife a few moments ago, the next place I go and they mention my son, I'm going to tell him when I get back. Look, I'm not going places for them to tell me about you. How about talk about me? I'm just kidding a little bit. I'm proud as I could ever be, but just something to talk to him on the way home tonight about. But I thank God. Every time somebody mentions his name, I'm excited about what God is doing. But it takes a lot. But you have to have the right missionaries. And we have like you do, 3-4 missionaries in every conference that we have. We want them to come there and stay the whole time, bring their family. It's very costly. I mean, it costs thousands of dollars to have a missions conference every year, but it's worth it. But you have to have the right missionaries. You got to write right people, because a successful conference is not just based on having a speaker. It takes more than that. Slide presentation, testimonies, fellowship, meeting back at the tables and talking to these, all of that God puts together for the sole purpose that when Thursday night ends, God has brought this church to where he wants it to be for the next year to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe that it's so important that we understand that. Now, I preached last year, and I usually preach any place where I do a missions conference. I'm not doing it this time because I'm only here for today. But you remember from last time that I strongly believe that the Bible teaches us that the mission of the church is mission. This is why a church exist. In other words, all the other things that we do, build buildings, and we have fellowship, and we bring all of these things together. It's to stir us up, fire us up, and get us to understand that the Great Commission was given not to an organization, not to a college, not to an individual, but it was given to a living organism called the church. That's so important. I'm thankful tonight that I learned that years and years ago. Now, I never claimed, and anyone who knows me, I never claimed to be a great preacher, but I know things about missions. I've preached missions conferences. Our church will be having its 34th consecutive missions conference. I preach missions conferences in church as small as 40 and as large as 4,000 and all sizes in between. So we spend a lot of our lives in mission conferences around missionaries, and I'm telling you, it's amazing to me how many local New Testament churches in this world have no idea what a missions conference or a missions church is all about. We think that if we raise a lot of money, what a great success. If we get people to get emotional enough and you have somebody surrender every once in a while, what a great job. Let me tell you something. It takes all of that and more to be successful in the sight of God. And so what you want in a missions conference, you want the men, women, boys, and girls as a part of this conference through preaching and teaching and fellowship and missionaries to understand God has given me a responsibility to help this organism take this authentic plan that I can't improve upon, that's assured this promise that will never fail, that is accomplished by the power of the Holy Spirit, which we have when the church has been immersed, but it can only be advanced by people. Now, the last time I thought about people, I thought about me and all the people in the world. Sometimes we are not what we need to be. Sometimes we don't do what we should do. I mean, the plan is authentic. It won't fail. The promise is assured. I can count on it. The power will help me to accomplish it. But when it comes down to the fact that the plan that has the promise and the power can only be advanced by people, that means I've got a lot of work to do. Because we as people, we're sinners saved by grace. We're still flesh. If we don't walk in the Spirit, we will never accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. So I want you to think about this thought here tonight as we think about this very first day. Okay, so we have this wonderful plan. We have this promise from God. We have this power there. And we are the people that God has chosen to advance this plan of reaching the world. The thought ought to be, as a man or woman, boy or girl, who is a part of this living organism, what is it? What is it that God has given me that I can give to help this authentic plan be advanced, that the God of heaven looks down and says, that's good, that's successful, that's what it ought to be. That's the goal of a missions conference, to get to the end of it, that you're going to have something given by people that God himself will say, I can use that to advance this plan I gave my church that I assured my promise and has my power can now be advanced by these people. That's what a successful missions conference is. And there are three things I believe without a doubt that God wants out of every missions conference, whether it's 40 people or 4,000 people, are the people here that we can give. And I want you to think about those three things that I want to share with us tonight. The first one is found from this passage here that you're very familiar with because you're a mission-hearted church. You're taught faith promise. We know that we draw our faith promise here from this passage where the church of Corinth, that Paul has spent 18 months, loved this church, spent 18 months there. There was a special need in Jerusalem that he had presented to the church of Corinth. This church made a promise. 1 year later, after they made that promise, they failed to keep that promise. But Paul went to these poor churches in Macedonia, told them how zealous and excited the church of Corinth was. These people that were not in the best shape financially got so excited about others that they participated. And now he writes back to this church and gives them an example of how they gave to their power, beyond their power or to their ability. They gave sacrificially, they gave by faith, they went beyond the duty, and they were able to do that. And he writes back to give them an example how we ought to do it today. And I want you to notice what he said here in verse number 5 in this passage. He said, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and unto us by the will of God." Here's the first thing that God wants every man, woman, boy, or girl to consider giving to make your missions program, your mission successful in the sight of God. Here's what he's looking for in every missions conference. He's looking for every man, every woman, every boy, every girl to give self to Christ. God's not broke. He's not short on talent. He's not short on ability, but he's short on people who have come to the point in his or her life. If I'm going to advance this plan, if I'm going to get the job done for God, then I must do like the churches of Macedonia. I must first give self to Christ. God will never accept second place in any of our lives. The reason that the churches of Macedonia could give sacrificially, though they were poor churches, didn't have a lot, they were so excited, so moved, so motivated, because Paul says there came a point in their lives where they made it a priority to give, not to a church, not to a preacher, but a person. They were persuaded by the will of God, not by their emotions, that made them be persistent in giving everything that they had for a cause for other people. Would to God, if I never got anything out of a missions conference, I would hear something, sense something, feel something, read something, be stirred enough to say, "Lord, you are number one in my life." Now, I got saved in 1976, called to preach in 1978. It took me a matter of days as a businessman to sit in the church and hear a need financially in that church that I could do because of my resources and my position in life that had nothing to do with faith, had nothing to do with the ability to do it. I mean, it just seemed like a thing to do. The church had a need, and therefore I went to the preacher and says, "Hey, look, instead of trying to raise all this money, I want to do this thing." And then I get this thought in my mind: I'm going to make a lot of money, and I'm going to give it to the church. I don't ever want the preacher to worry about buying a bus, buying anything. My calling, I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm thankful that I'm on the way to heaven. I've got a successful business. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make a whole lot of money and just give it to the church. You know what I found out? No matter how much money I gave to the church, I was told, I didn't know that, at one point in time, I gave more to the local church than anybody in the church. I didn't know that. Didn't matter to me. It seems like it was there. That was the kind of thing to do. And no matter how much I gave financially, it wasn't until July 16th, 1978, when I walked forward to the local church and says, "Lord, here's me," that I ever found peace. God's not impressed with your ability. He's not impressed with your resources. He's not impressed with your education. The only thing that moves God, motivates God, and stirs God is what he sees in your heart. And every mission conference, no exception, the God of heaven is looking for a man, a woman, a boy, and a girl who will first make him a priority and give himself or herself to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? When he has you, he has your time, he has your talent, he has your treasure, he owns your ability, he owns your family, he owns everything because you made him a priority. So in this missions conference, when Thursday night comes, there's a God in heaven that's looking down and trying to find some men, some women, some boy or girl that will make him first in your life. That, without that, if we go to this missions conference and you have all kinds of money, look, you don't have to be spiritual to put money in an offering plate. There are a whole lot of people put money in the offering plate that are not necessarily spiritual people. You can give and not love God, but you can't love God and not give. And we need to understand that. So what God's looking for, he's looking for people, that's everybody in here. If this conference is going to be what God wants it to be, he wants men, women, boys, and girls to give self to Christ. And then secondly, I want to look at an Old Testament passage in the book of Exodus. And I want to draw a few principles from here that God spoke to my heart many, many years ago. Exodus chapter number 17. What can you give to make this missions program successful in the sight of God? Start by giving yourself to Christ. If you haven't done it in the morning, evening, or Monday night, or Tuesday night, or Wednesday night, or Thursday night, if you go through this missions conference, I don't care what size check you may write and put in the offering plate, it is not successful in the sight of God if you haven't put yourself in the offering plate. Exodus chapter number 17. We're talking about what can people who are advancing the program give to make missions a success in the sight of God. Give yourself to Christ. Here's a story in Exodus chapter number 17. I want to read beginning in verse number 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Here's God, the nation of Israel, God's people. leave captivity out of Egypt. And this wicked Amalek, the Amalekites, would come up behind the weak people and would attack them. God didn't like that, so he told Moses, I've got a plan for you to carry out. I want you to take my people and I want to wipe out those Amalekites. I want to wipe them out completely. And Moses chooses the men to go out to fight with Amalek. He goes up to the top of the hill and he raises up his hands. Keep in mind, God is the one that gave him this plan. He realized what we need to realize. When God gives us a plan, we need God's help to carry out the plan. So he raised up his hands here in prayer, and the hands got heavy, and Aaron and Hur came on each side and helped hold up his hands, and they were steady until the going down of the sun, and the job was completed. It's a beautiful, beautiful story when I think about the plan God's given the church to evangelize the world. Our job is to get people involved in evangelizing the world. And there's several principles found here that I want you to draw from this passage that we need to have when it comes to our missions program being successful. We need every person in here to first give self to Christ. But keep in mind, the Great Commission was an authentic plan given by God to the local church that's assured a promise, accomplished by the power, but only advanced by the people. So as I look at this plan that's given the local church, we as people have to get involved. You think about a missions conference, you think about the most important week of your year, the most important year you're going to have, all of this. And by the way, missions won't end with the missions conference. We're putting something in the hearts of people that will continue going, continue giving, continue praying. Now watch this story. Here's what God's looking for. We not only need people in this local church to first give self to Christ, but secondly, we need people to give their support to the church. If God gave the Great Commission to the church, it's the church's responsibility to reach it out, to reach the goal, and therefore it is the responsibility of the people who are part of the church to support what the church is doing. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. All right, so God puts people in here. He gives us time. He gives us talent. He gives us treasure. We put together a missions program. If you say this is the most important week of the year for the Fellowship Baptist Church, you must believe that what goes on this week is going to help the church to accomplish something God's given the church to do. All right, so here's what we need to do. Let's think about the mission program of the local church. He says here several things. First of all, in verse number 10, note 9, he said, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. The first kind of support that God needs from the church in a missions program, he's looking for some men, women, boys, and girls that are going to participate in the action. The action of the local church is to evangelize the world. In a missions conference, God's looking down at the hearts of men that he's put in his local church, and he says, I need somebody to go to China. I need somebody to go to Argentina. I need somebody to go to someplace in the world. I need some people to be chosen out of this congregation to participate in the action. There's nothing wrong in a missions conference of looking, longing, praying, and hoping that God will call somebody out of the local church to participate in getting the gospel around the world. We've come to the point now, where do you think missionaries come from? We don't pick them up on the side of the road. They get saved, baptized, join a local New Testament church, start serving from the pews, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God reaches down in the local church many times in mission conference, and he'll call this one and that one that be called, and the local church trains them to participate in the action. He's not going to call everybody, just like everybody didn't go out and fight against the Amalekites, but there's some people that will call to participate in the action. You want to see a successful missions conference? Look for people to be called to go and do the work of God. Amen. All right, so we need men, women, young people to participate in what God's doing to reach the world. Then I want you to notice verse number 11. It continues on. He said, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand and Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. When it comes to supporting church, we need people to participate in the action, but we need everybody, when it comes to missions, praying always. What are you praying for? You're praying for missionaries. You're praying for money. You're praying for labors. You're praying for miracles. Why? We are participating. We're involved in something God's called my local church, and therefore we got some call out there that are going. We've got missionaries that we're supporting, and then every man, every woman, every boy, every girl in the local church ought to be lifting up your hands to God every single day, praying that those out there participating in the battle know that we're lifting up our hands to God, praying for miracles, praying for money to come in, praying for more missionaries to go, because we're supporting the mission God's given to the local church. Thirdly, look at verse 12. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. We need, if we're going to support the church and support the mission program of the church, we need some to participate in the action. We need everybody praying always, but we need people providing assistance every opportunity. Thank God for a local church where people all year long assist in the mission program of the local church. It won't end Thursday night. Those missionaries, there's so many things that we can do. It's not just the preacher's hands and the holding. It's not just the preacher's responsibility. It's not just the staff's responsibility. It's every man, every woman, every boy, every girl that said, what can I do? How can I help? Can I do more? After all, this is an ongoing program for our local church. There's some participating in the action. We're all praying always, but many people need to provide all the assistance you can give. After all, we want our missions program to be successful in the sight of God. Number four, there were those participating in the action, praying actively, providing assistance. And verse number 13 is something that's very interesting that we don't get a lot of in our local churches, and we need more of that. He said in verse 13, and Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people, notice this phrase, with the edge of the sword. When the Bible talks about winning a battle with the edge of the sword, it was a great, great victory. They not only whipped the Amalekites, they whooped the Amalekites. They took care of them, and I mean they did them in. You know what we need in our missions program? We need people to participate in the action. God's not going to call everybody, but he ought to call some. We need everybody praying always. We need people providing all the assistance you can. But we need some people somewhere down the line when it comes to faith promise, comes to soul winning, it comes to whatever you're doing. Would to God that we start performing aggressively. Why don't we go a little further? Why don't we do a little more? Why don't we try a little harder? Why don't we determine that instead of just getting by and just filling out a faith promise card, just a token kind of thing. I'm going to step out this time a little further than I've gone before. I'm going to give it a little bit more. Why? He went all the way to Calvary for me. Can I go someplace for him? I'm going to support. I'm not only going to participate in the action. God didn't call me to the mission field. I'm going to pray always. I'm going to provide assistance. But whatever I do, I'm going to perform it aggressively. I mean, this token kind of Christianity we have for a Savior who's done so much for us, we're to be ashamed of ourselves. He chose us to carry out the plan. And would we have some people that will step out? That's why personally in our years, for years and years, we've made it automatic in our house. No matter what happens, every January, every May, we're going to increase our faith promise giving, because I can't go several months without experiencing the blessings of God, without wanting to do more for him. And then the last thing we see, there need to be people participating in the action, praying actively, providing assistance, performing aggressively. And then notice verse 15, which we can never lose sight of. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. There was participation in the action. People were praying always, providing assistance, performing aggressively. But Joshua comes back, just whipped those Amalekites. A natural thing would be, boy, look at old Josh did with those people. Josh, you and the boys did a good job. You went out and really, really whipped those Amalekites, and you ought to be pat on the back, and you ought to be lifted up in praise. But he didn't do that. You know what he did? He built an altar. He was saying, those people participated in the action, prayed always, performed aggressively, providing assistance, but all the success, we ought to praise God always. It's all about him. He gave me the time. He gave me the talent. He gave me the health. He gave me the strength. I've heard preachers get around and preach about how much money has come in and how what they have somebody doing. Let me tell you something. Anything that's accomplished in this local church is accomplished through the power of Almighty God. He gets the honor. He gets the glory. If you have the greatest amount of money ever given, it is not to pat people on the back. It's to thank God that he moved in the hearts of people. Amen. To perform aggressively, to get on their knees and pray, and to provide all the assistance, all the credit, and all the honor and glory should go to Almighty God. Amen. Now very quickly, the last, let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, and then I'll be finished. What can the members of Fellowship Baptist Church give to make this missions program successful to God? We start by giving self to Christ. You need to give your support to the local church. That's the organism that to evangelize the world. And then thirdly, this is important. You can't leave this out. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 9. And I'll pick it up in verse 6. I'll read it here. But this I say, 2 Corinthians 9, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he that dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. What makes a missions program successful? By the people who are advancing the plan. First, give self to Christ. give support to the church. And thirdly, you have to give substance to the cause. There's an old term I learned a long time ago, 41 years ago, money equals souls. Missionaries can't get to the field unless people in the local church give their substance. This is the plan of God. This is the purpose of God. And he says, if you're going to have a successful missions program, there ought to be people called out of the church. There ought to be people supporting the local church program. But there ought to be people that are giving their substance for the cause of evangelizing the world. And God gives us here a very fruitful principle in verse 6. This I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. He says, I've got a very fruitful principle for my people. You invest, you involve, you increase, your substance that I gave you, that I provided for you, into my plan to evangelize the world. There's a fruitful principle you need to learn. If you do it bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. You do it sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. He goes into verse number 7. There's a very faithful purpose I'm looking for. He says, every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. He says, when it comes to this thing about giving to get the gospel around the world, when it comes to tithing, you don't have to feel good about that. You're commanded to tithe. But when it comes to this important thing of giving of your substance to advance my plan, is not a commandment in the scripture. I want people to have an attitude of commitment. Every man as he purposes in his heart. I want it to be an attitude of cheerfulness, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, I've been in enough missions conferences and 34 in our conference where I've seen God do wonderful things to people who first gave self to Christ, who are supporting the local church. They have no problem giving of their substance for a cause of getting the gospel around the world. And our circumstances don't dictate why we do it. There's a fruitful principle, a faithful purpose, and a fantastic provision is found in verse number 8. And God is able. He's able to take any man, any woman, any boy or girl, and make it possible, either sacrificially, by faith, or by grace, to give to a cause of getting the gospel around the world. So when this conference ends this year, like every year, it ought to be successful in the sight of God. And if it is, then God wants everyone to give self to Christ. He wants the church to have the support of the people. Some will participate in the action. All will pray always. Some will provide assistance. Then some will perform aggressively. And everybody ought to praise God always. And then he says, if you really do that, then you will give of your substance to the cause. It will be a fruitful principle that you understand. You ought to increase, invest, involve. You ought to do it by commitment, purpose it in your heart. You ought to do it cheerfully because you love God. And he says, if you don't understand how you can do it, God is able. May God help us just to kind of chew on those principles throughout this week, and at the end of the week, let's hope that God will see all three of these principles working in the people in the people that he has chosen through his local church to advance the plan. What can I give to make the missions program of Fellowship Baptist Church successful in the eyes of God? Give self to Christ, give your support to the church, and give your substance to the cause. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Every head bowed, every